That was beautiful. Thank y'all. All right. Well, good morning, friends, family, church family, whoever you are, you might be listening today. I'm so glad that you've chosen to get on Facebook this morning and worship with us today. And as I'm up here, I realize that some of you have had a long, hard week. And some of you might be sitting there saying, no, I've had a long, hard year. 2020 has been a long, hard year for a lot of us. And I heard yesterday on the radio, one man said he was going to ask his mother if that offer to be slapped into next year was still on the table. Anybody else's mama ever said, I'm going to slap you into next year, you say something like that. He said, I'm going to ask my mom if that offer is still on the table because I'm tired of 2020. And that might be where you are today. But I think I can say on behalf of all of us here today, that no matter how hard it's been, no matter how deep the valleys have been, that God's grace has always been sufficient. And I'm so thankful for the grace of God today. In these days that we're living in, you know, instead of putting each other down, we as the church are to lift each other up. And that's why we're here this morning. We want to encourage you by a song that's sung, by a word that's said. We just pray today that whatever's done today, it might be an encouragement to you. It might be a blessing to you. And today we just gather together today to worship the Lord. So right where you are, we pray that you will be able to listen today. And you will just be encouraged by whatever is said and as we worship God together. You know, we bear a lot of burdens in this world. We bear a lot of burdens each and every day, each and every week, every month that comes. We have a lot of burdens, but I'm so thankful today that you and I still serve a God that lifts heavy burdens. And I'm thankful for that today. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to start with prayer. Musicians, you can come. I'm so thankful for these people that have made their way in here today so that we might worship together through song. And we pray that you'll worship with us right where you are today. Father, we come to you this morning in prayer. And Lord, we want to thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We want to thank you that every need that we have has always been supplied. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who still hears and answers prayer. So God, we come today to pray on behalf of our nation, Lord. We pray on behalf of our leaders, our president and vice president. We pray you'll continue to give them the wisdom that they need to direct and lead our country, Lord, in the way that you would have us to go. God, you know that we need revival more than anything. So God, I pray that it is through this time right now that people who maybe haven't been in church will begin to start coming to church. But most of all, people that are lost, they will come to the saving knowledge of Christ. God, we know that you are doing something good through this, and we just turn our eyes to you, God, and we pray that you will have your will and your way, not only in this nation, but in our state and in this church, Lord, that you will start a great revival, and even in our own hearts, God. We just thank you and we praise you for all that you're doing right now in the midst of discouragement and depression and sickness, Lord. You're still at work, and we want to thank you for that. So God, today I pray for each person that is listening on Facebook, no matter where they are. God, you can touch their hearts, for it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So I pray you'll touch them today. We do love you, and we do thank you for all that you are to us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
If you're there watching at home, just join right in with us. We're doing Great is Thy Faithfulness. I want you to know you're truly missed.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be.
10,000 reasons. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I worship His holy name. Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His
Amen. Thank you, Danny, Carol. Well, good morning, Facebook peoples, peeps, whatever you call them. I just want to say before I sing this song, I want to give you a little appetizer before Justin brings the meal. You know, the Bible says that even as a man thinketh, so is he. And so I always try to encourage young Christians and people that just come to know the Lord to get in God's Word and try to learn the voice of God. Because if you get in His Word, you'll know His voice because they'll both line up together. And what I've found is that what's also very important is to learn the voice of the enemy. And it's not something that you have to teach. It's kind of automatic. Matter of fact, I've become a master down through the years at not only knowing His voice, hearing His voice, but listening to it. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And there's just a lot of fear going around now about what's going on and things of this world. And I told Justin this morning, now's not the time to go to Walmart and start greeting people with a holy kiss. But at the same time, God's give us a wisdom to know that He's still in control. He ain't missed nothing. We're still His children. And I know that when I was little, as long as Daddy was around, that everything was okay. But once I lost track of where they were at, my parents, then I was a little uneasy. Well, he's still here. And I hope his song's a blessing to you. Fear's a liar. When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Fear is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire, holds fear. He is a liar. When he told you you were troubled, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty, that you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one the grace could never change. Fear is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in the fire, cause fear, he is a liar. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I need. Let your fire fall, cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I need. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I need. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I feel.
Enjoyed the singing, say amen right where you are. You know, we talked a little bit about that on Wednesday night. The devil is the father of lies, isn't he? And the greatest lie he tells is there's no hope. There's no hope. He uses fear to deceive us and say there's no hope. But I'm thankful that last week we celebrated Easter. And because Jesus rose from the dead, there's always hope. And I'm thankful for that this morning. If you do have your Bibles right where you are, I invite you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 in my prayer today. All week as I study this passage is that this might be a comfort to you. We're living in discouraging days. We try to act like everything's all right sometimes, but sometimes it's all right to just say we are discouraged, we are down. But I'm thankful we serve a God who can encourage us, and He's provided us His Word that we might be encouraged through it. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13, no matter where you are, have your Bibles, your iPad, your phone, we'll begin reading there. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse number 13. Very familiar verses and one of the most passages that's filled with the most hope in Scripture. So here we are today, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, I pray that You'll do just that. I pray that You'll comfort the hearers with these words. We'll bless Your name for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look around our world today, there is one thing that has always been common long before the coronavirus was ever even heard about. And that one thing that has always been common is a word called death. Did you know that on average in the United States of America, the great nation that we live in, every single day, on average, 8,000 people die. 8,000 people die every single day in the United States of America. And although death for some of us is a very foreign thing to talk about, nobody likes to bring it up in conversations, nobody likes to talk about it, it is a very common thing that is around us on a daily basis. Now, I want you to imagine something for me just real quick in your own mind. I want you to imagine that you and your family lived in a country that's never had a Bible. I want you to imagine living in a country that's never heard the verses in this Bible, that's never even heard of a man named Jesus, but you have a family, you have a wife, you have a husband, you have kids. And you live with your husband, your wife for 50, 60 years, and all of a sudden they get the virus, they get a sickness, and they die. You have absolutely no hope. Because you see, here in America, we Christians, when someone dies, we like to go back to the Scriptures and say, although they're absent from the body, we thank the Lord they're present with the Lord. But if you live in a country or in a place that's never heard Scripture, that's never heard of a Bible, that's never heard of a man named Jesus, that leaves you with absolutely no hope. You're not sure what even happens, and that leaves you miserable. Now, as you think about that, I want you to imagine that was the church in Thessalonica at this time. At this time in history, the church, they have no New Testament. As a matter of fact, probably they don't even have an Old Testament. They have no idea what the Bible says. Paul had been there. He had taught them a little bit. But you see, this church in Thessalonica, their loved ones had gotten saved, but now they're beginning to die. Some of them had even began to be killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no New Testament circulating around. So they begin to wonder, am I even going to see my loved one again? What takes place at death? Some of you in here can speak to this. When you do have hope of seeing your loved one again, that's still sad. That's still already sad enough. But when you have no hope, that's when you can talk about extreme sadness. Sorrow and misery begins to set in. And you know, that's kind of what was going on in the church in Thessalonica. And the reason Paul writes this letter is the church had begun to sorrow over their loved ones who had died as if there was no hope. Look at verse 13. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. Look at this. That you sorrow not. But he goes on to say, even as others which have no hope. I want you to listen real close to this. What Paul is saying in verse 13 is not this. You church people need to get over the death of your loved ones. Paul is not saying it's time to stop grieving. It is time to not be sad any longer. It's time to get over it. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying it is okay to sorrow, but what's not okay is to sorrow as if there's no hope. It is okay to be sad. It is okay to grieve. It is okay to be filled with sorrow. But church, listen, it is not okay to sorrow as if we don't have any hope. Especially for those who have trusted in Christ. For what Paul is trying to do, he is trying to cast their mind away from the grief of death to the glory of the resurrection day that is ahead. You see, last week we celebrated Resurrection Sunday, the day Jesus died, the day Jesus rose again from the dead. We look back to that. What we're going to do today is look forward to another resurrection day that is soon to come. And you see, because Jesus died and rose again, we look forward to that day, to where people who have died trusting in Him will, in fact, rise again. The topic I want to talk to you about today is the title, Them Which Are Asleep. Them which are asleep. Because you see, Timothy was with the church here, and he brought back some questions to Paul from the church. Paul had been there 3-4 weeks. He had talked to them. I'm sure he said, the Lord will return someday. And they knew from his teaching that any day now, what a glorious day it would be when Jesus Christ returned for those who were living and for those who had trusted in Him. But they began to wonder, now hold on. When Christ comes back, we know we who are living are going to see Him. We are going to be with Him. But what about my dad who's died? What about my grandfather who has died trusting in Christ? What's going to happen to them when Jesus comes back? Are they going to miss it? What will happen to them? And Paul needs to tell them the truth about this question. What's going to happen to those who have died when Christ comes back? And this passage right here is used to enlighten them, to encourage them, and comfort them in their sorrows. And today, no matter where you are, if you're in here, if you're at your home listening, it is my prayer that this passage of Scripture will do the exact same thing to you. As I was thinking this week, I know personally of at least 8, 9, 10 people that I know very closely who have lost a loved one over the past 2-3 years. And it's okay to still have sorrow over that. But Paul is telling us it's not okay to have sorrow over that as if there's no hope. For if those people died trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope we can share and there is comfort we can find in the pages of Scripture. And today I'm just going to show you 3 quick things of why we need not sorrow as if there's no hope over those that have died. Number one, I want to show you the reason we need not sorrow is they are with the Lord. They are with the Lord. Verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Notice this, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. I want you to notice something. Verse 13, 14, and 15, Paul uses the word asleep to refer to those who have died. He does not use the term dead. Paul uses the term asleep in these 3 verses. Now this is a term borrowed from Jesus Christ Himself. He did not call those who had trusted in Him dead. He called those asleep. Everyone remembers a story of Lazarus. John chapter number 11. Lazarus had died. Jesus did not come to save the day. But a few days later, Jesus in the other town looks at His disciples and says, boys, let's go into Bethany, for Lazarus sleepeth. He said, Lazarus is asleep. Let's go get him. And the disciples look at Jesus and say, if he's just sleeping, he'll be fine, Jesus. Let him take his nap. And Jesus looks at the boys and says, listen, he's not asleep. He's dead. You see, Jesus used that term to refer to that that was asleep. He did the same thing with Jairus' daughter in Matthew chapter number 9. Everybody's just making a huge grief over this 12-year-old girl. You can imagine that she has just died there and around the house, just around her grieving, sorrowing, crying. And Jesus walks in and says, "Why are you crying? She's not dead. She's only asleep." He used the term asleep. And there is a very good reason why Jesus and Paul refers to those people not as dead, but as asleep. And I want to give you the reason why this morning. This is the reason. Because the Lord Jesus has abolished and overcame death on that first Easter. He has now changed death into sleep. The Lord died and rose again. He died and He encountered the King of Terrors in His awful power, and by His resurrection overcame it. So now with believers through His atonement, death has now become but sleep to them. Death has now been changed into sleep. You see, He uses the term sleep instead of dead because death has now lost its sting to those who trust in Christ. Death has been abolished and death has lost its victory over us because, as Billy Graham said, when I die, I am not dead. I will be more alive than I have ever been in that day. Death has now been changed into sleep. Our bodies are simply laid to sleep through Jesus, waiting on the day that He will come back and just wake them up. Same way He did with Lazarus. He walked in in the same way. One glad day, Jesus is going to step out and wake those up who have trusted in Him. Now, when I talk about sleep here, some people, you will say that it refers to soul sleep. In other words, some people teach that when you die, you're just basically unconscious. You cease to exist, even as a Christian, until that day Jesus comes to raise you up. But that is not what the Bible teaches at all. For the Bible says also in verse 14, "Even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." I want you to notice that. Will God bring with Him those that are sleeping? In other words, at Jesus' return, God will be bringing those sleeping with Him in the air. Now you ask the question, how is He going to raise their bodies out of the ground but also bring them with Jesus? So they're going to rise, but they're also going to be with Him coming back. You say, how is that possible? Well, although their body is in the ground sleeping, the Bible says their spirit, their soul is already with the Lord. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. One man said, Christians won't even be dead long enough to know you're dead before you see the face of Jesus. For to be absent from the body is immediately to be present with the Lord. But the Bible says they will come back with Jesus. I don't know about you, but this week when I thought about that, that encouraged me amazingly. Because that means this. The day Jesus splits the eastern sky and comes back on the cloud, Jesus will not be by Himself up there. Jesus will not be coming back all alone. For with Jesus in the air will be all the saints who have gone on before us, meaning your mama and your daddy that have died trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be with Jesus when He comes back. My grandpa who has died, when Jesus comes back, he will be standing up there with Jesus awaiting us to come up there and meet them. Your loved one who has died and they trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus steps out on the cloud, the Bible says they will be with Him. And if you can just imagine that in your mind right now, you might just run around your house. Think when Jesus comes back, He won't be by Himself. But praise God, those people that we love dearly will be with Him if they've been born again. Can I tell you today, the first reason not to sorrow is those people, your loved ones, your relatives, your friends who have trusted in the Lord, they are with the Lord right now as we speak. And isn't it a joy that although we miss them down here, and they aren't here with us, they're at home with the Lord. And I'm so thankful today that this world is not my home. We're just passing through. But those that have gone on, they are at home, and they're with the Lord. Number one, the reason not to sorrow is if there's no hope over them is they're with the Lord. Number two, they will rise first. They will rise first. Verse 15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, that's us, unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. So the Bible says we which are alive when Jesus does come back. By the way, have you thought about this? There has to be a generation on the earth when Jesus comes back. And why not our generation? I can't prove to you that Jesus is coming back in my generation, but you can't prove He's not coming back in my generation. And the Bible says when He does, we will not precede them that have died, them which are asleep. You see, the church had begun to ask Paul. They begin to think, listen, yes, Jesus is coming back. What a glorious time that's going to be when He returns for us. But what about those that have died? Are they going to miss the return of Christ because they're dead? Paul says, oh no, they're not going to miss it at all. For when Jesus comes back, they're going to be the ones who are on the front row to see it all. For look what happens, verse 16. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, not second, third, fourth, or fifth, but the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, verse 16 says, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. And every time I read that verse, I feel a preaching storm coming on, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. You know, ever since Acts chapter number 2, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the disciples were standing around as you and I would have been, just gazing into the heavens, but two men in white apparel showed up to the disciples and said, why gaze ye up into heaven? This same Jesus that is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. And I don't know if you do this or not, but at night I like to go out and sit out on the back porch and look out at the night sky and just imagine what it's going to look like when Jesus splits the eastern sky and everything that will begin to happen at that moment. It's very hard to imagine everything that's going to happen the very moment Jesus comes back, for the Bible says it will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But it's fun to imagine everything that's going to happen. But we do know this. We don't know everything in that moment that's going to happen, but we do know this. When the Creator of this universe steps out on the cloud and descends from heaven, Sir Isaac Newton's law of gravity is going to have to step aside for a moment, for the earth will lose its gravitational pull, and those bodies that we laid in the dirt one day will begin to rise, and you and I, these bodies that were never meant to fly, will begin to fly. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. And you know, that song is the exact truth. You've heard the song also. There ain't no grave that's going to hold my body down. For when I hear that trumpet sound, I will rise up out of the ground. Isaac Newton's law is going to have to step aside for just a few minutes. For those bodies will begin to rise up out of the ground. For the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout. That's right. Jesus will not be quiet when He comes back. I believe He's excited to meet His bride. And that's why I like to shout, because I'm excited to meet Him. With a shout, the Bible says, John 5:28, Jesus said, the hour is coming into which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice and shall come forth. All that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we are His sheep, and His sheep know His voice. And when He steps out, I believe the same way He walked into Lazarus' tomb that day and said, Lazarus, come forth, is the same way one day in the middle of our everyday life, when you're least expecting it, you're going to hear a loud voice that says, children, come forth. And we're going to be gone. Into that world, hallelujah, there's no goodbyes anymore. Some people have asked me, just in the 2 years that I've done funerals, that I've been around death a little bit more, they read this passage and they say, but what about my loved one that's been cremated? What might happen to their body? I've had that question more than I can count. What will happen since their bodies will rise up out of the ground? And my answer to that question is this. How did God make Adam? Out of the what? The dust of the earth. Out of the dust of the ground. And I say God had no problem making the first man out of dust, and He'll have no problem bringing back the new man, the resurrection, out of the dust either. skeptics look at this and say there's no way bodies can just begin to rise up out of the ground like that. But if God made the bodies out of the ground, He'll have absolutely no problem getting them up out of the ground. You see, we sorrow, but we sorrow with hope. Because, number one, they're with the Lord. And number two, that grave will not hold their bodies down. Death will not be forever. For in that day, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, death will then lose its sting. Number one, we sorrow not because they're with the Lord. We sorrow not as others because they will rise first. But number three, we don't sorrow as others which have no hope because we will meet them again. We will meet them again. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. You see, we call it the rapture because that word right there in Latin is the word rapturo, caught up, together with them. I want you to underline that in your Bible if you want to. We will be caught up together with them. I like that part. Because you know what that's called? That's called a family reunion right there. When we are caught up together with them. Let me say this. For most of you, the last time you might have saw your loved one, it was a sad goodbye. For some of their bodies had been broken down and weakened by sickness, but I'm so thankful that at this reunion there will no more be any sad goodbyes or any sick bodies anymore. For at that meeting we will receive our glorified bodies that can never get sick and can never die again. And some have always asked this question also at funerals. Since we're going to get a brand new body, will we be even able to recognize our loved ones? Since we're going to look new, since we're going to look different, are we going to even be able to recognize each other? Consider this. Since our new body comes with a new and perfect mind, don't you think we're going to know them? Our new body is going to be a perfect body, which means it comes with a perfect mind. Therefore, we are going to know who they are. And you know, I'm thankful that although we do say goodbye down here, on that day you'll never have to say goodbye again. No goodbyes will ever be said in that land. But you see today, church, the Bible says in verse 17, not only we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, we're not only going to meet them again. Verse 17 says we will meet the Lord in the air. We're not only going to meet our loved ones again, but more than that, what we should be so excited about is we get to meet the Lord in the air. We get to meet the Lord, the one we've cried out to when our hearts have been broken, the one who's given us strength when we've been weak, the one whose grace has always been sufficient, and the one who saved our lost and dying soul from a sinner's hell is the one you and I will finally get to meet face to face. For no wonder the songwriter said, what a day, glorious day that will be. Hallelujah. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And you see today, church, Paul was trying to tell the church the same thing I'm telling you this morning. There's nothing wrong with being sad. Did you know Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus? Jesus, I believe, was filled with grief over the death that was all around Him. Jesus was filled with sorrow. Lazarus was His dear friend. There's nothing wrong with being sad. As a matter of fact, you need to be sad. That shows you how much you love somebody. But the Christian needs to sorrow a little bit different than the world sorrows. That's all Paul's trying to say. He's saying, listen, sorrow's fine, but we need to sorrow a little bit different than everybody else does. For we have a hope in which this world does not have. Listen to what one man said. We have not only sorrow, we have an enlightened sorrow. An enlightened sorrow looks forward to the future and regards our separation from our departed friends as being neither final nor complete. That's what your enlightened sorrow does. It realizes that separation that you have from your husband, your wife, your kids, your grandfathers, your grandmothers, that is not a final or complete separation. For the Bible says there will come a day in which no one knows the day that we will not only meet them again, but we will meet Him in the air. You know, I was thinking about this week also. If you know your father has died trusting in Christ, you know your father's in heaven. You have a grandfather who has died, they've trusted in Christ, and you know your grandfather is in heaven. You've had sons, daughters that have died, you know they're with the Lord. I want to say this to you this morning. If you ever want to see them again, you're going to have to trust in Christ yourself. You can't live on their salvation, but you have to get your own. I think I can speak for my whole entire family. My wife, my mom, my dad, my grandma. There's one person that I want to see again, and that's my pawpaw. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day I get to see him again. But you know, I'm looking forward to the day that I get to see my Jesus. Because Jesus was the one that made it possible that I could see him again. My separation from him is not final, it's not complete because of one thing. Jesus died and Jesus rose again. And when I put my faith in him, he says that I am his child forever. Nothing can change that. Today, I don't know where you are. I don't know what kind of sorrow you've dealt with. I don't know if you're still dealing with the sorrow of a loved one being gone. But I say this, if you ever want to see them again and they've trusted in Christ, come to Christ. Billy Graham used to say that all the time. Come to Christ today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to come to Christ. You may not have a tomorrow. There's plenty of people that will die today in our country. And if it's you, I pray that you will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to receive Christ, just say this right where you are. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I deserve death. But you came and you took my place on the cross. You died for my sin and you rose again victoriously. And today, I receive you into my heart by faith. Today, I want to make my home in heaven sure. So today, I receive you as my Savior. Come into my heart and save me from my sin. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, you know there's death all around us every single day. But last week we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And today I can stand before you right now saying, because we can look back to that day, there's a day you and I can look forward to. Although our loved ones, they have gone, we are separated from them. They are not dead, for they are more alive than they've ever been. And I'm so thankful for the hope that we find in Scripture. And I'm so thankful that today we can find comfort, that although we have sorrow, we have a God who is the God of all comfort. And He lifts our heavy burdens. Today I pray that you are comforted through the passage of Scripture the way I've been comforted this week. I want to say that I love each and every one of you. I pray for you every day. I miss you dearly, as Danny said, and we look forward to the day. I walk in here every day, and I pray for that day we get to come back together, and I believe God is going to bless us tremendously when we get to come back together. I love you. I thank you for watching this morning. If you need anything, you be sure and you give us a call. But we do hope that you have a good day, and we love each one of you, and God bless you.